everybody, and welcome to another edition of After Dark with Rob and Andrew. Hope you guys are all rested in and you're settled in and you're ready for another packed show with information that you will need to get your to end your night and to get tomorrow's day started. So what's going on in the news today? There is a lot that's taking place. We've had a lot of guests that have been talking about current events, but one of the things that I definitely want to talk about tonight, Andrew, with our guest, Chris Tremolghi, he's an independent journalist, is this whole concept of cancel culture. For some reason, everyone is being canceled out there. I don't know if you've encountered being canceled, some of you, but it's like everybody, his brother, they're being canceled because they don't think the way their neighbor thinks. They don't look the right look. They don't have the right look. It's just a number of things that's getting people canceled. And it's dangerous, Andrew. It's extremely dangerous.
Yeah, it really is. Good evening, Rob. We've seen this cancel culture increase over the years, but so far 2021 has been a whole new level. What's going on in Georgia in the All-Star game cannot be allowed to stand. Sharon Osbourne's another example of how overly sensitive today's climate is. That's why we have places like America Out Loud, so we can have open discussion the mainstream media will not touch. We believe in free speech and open discussion, and we're looking forward to it with our guest today, Chris Tremolghi.
I mean, what I've always said that I might not like what you're saying, but I will fight to the bitter end for you to say it. Now, while I'm fighting for you to say it, trust me, I'm going to be mad because I don't want you to say it, but you have a right to say it. You have a right to free speech. You have a right to free thought. We can't all come in with group thinking. This is not Nazi Germany, but yet here we are, 2021. It started back in 2020 when Trump was a president, from 2016 onward, with them canceling him from Twitter, taking him off of social media. Well, because we don't like what he's saying. Oh, it's disinformation. Disinformation? The whole Hunter Biden deal was disinformation that you guys were saying that wasn't true. But everywhere you look, like you said, Sharon Osbourne, simply because she said, educate me. She said this to a Black woman who could not defend herself, who didn't have a response. So what happens? Oh, we got to get rid of her. Look at The Bachelor. This guy comes out. Oh, we don't like what he's saying. We got to counsel him. People are being counseled left and right. And it's scary. So the guest we're about to bring on, he himself has encountered the cancel culture. As a matter of fact, he was doing something for the good, his own time, volunteering. But for some strange reason, you know, the council police didn't like what he was saying. So without further ado, we're going to bring Chris on and let Chris tell you his own story. Like I said, he's an independent journalist. And, you know, it's unbelievable, the story that he's going to tell us. Chris, how's it going, man? I just want to hear your story. What's up?
Hey, Rob, how's it going? Thanks for having me back on. I guess I've been one of the latest victims in the whole cancel culture. What basically happened is, for the past five and a half years, six years, I've been a volunteer at the Ronald McDonald House in Philadelphia. As a van driver, desk person, dressed up as Santa Claus for the kids, dressed up as the Easter Bunny for families and kids that were staying there. So I've been was honored as a volunteer of, you know, the month or something. I think it was volunteer of the month. So and honored at a Philadelphia Flyers game. So, had a big long track record of helping out. And recently on social media, my old high school, they posted. So this, the event that I'm about to tell you has absolutely nothing to do with my volunteering at the Ronald McDonald House. I was not on, their property, using their internet, and I wasn't even in their building. Haven't even been able to go in their building. Since the pandemic broke out, the only thing I've actually done since the pandemic is go risk my health grocery shopping for families there and bringing groceries from the going out into the pandemic world, especially early on, and delivering groceries to the families at the house. But what happened is this, on my my high school alumni's Facebook page, someone posted something that after the Atlanta shootings, they were doing an honor or something, you know, honoring or bringing awareness to the alleged or not the alleged, they're bringing awareness to the anti-Asian hatred that was going on. And they tied what happened in Atlanta to that and did it the whole thing of like, you know, white supremacy, white male killing Asians. And I took offense to that because I commented saying, well, one, this is not exactly the epitome of hate crimes against Asian. It was a deranged, mentally ill person who was targeting an alleged prostitution ring and had a sex addiction. So it wasn't that they were doing it for anti-Asian stuff. And then I was more the thing I was offended about most is like, where was this stuff for the past year when Asian Americans were being attacked by African Americans throughout the entire country? Provided statistics on this same post, an actual chart from the FBI Bureau of Labor Statistics or UCI hate crime report. I forget which one off the top of my head, but I could show it to anyone who wants to see it. And said that, look, this is what's going on. The group of people that have been going after Asian Americans the most are African Americans. And not one time during the past year when there were numerous incidences, and I think even shortly after the Atlanta shootings up in New York City, a woman or a guy, you know, or some Asian, I think it was Asian American woman where a black African American male attacked an Asian American woman, happened like right after. And nothing was ever brought up in this group chat or in his Facebook group at all. And I was like, this is kind of offensive that you're basically the victims of anti-Asian hatred only deserve recognition when it's a white male. And I said, no, I care about when it's, you know, everyone that's, you know, hurting Asian Americans, not just waiting for white males. So this led to a back and forth, was able to back up and cite all the statistics that show everything to be truthful. The administrator of that Facebook page wound up doing a search on me and found out that, I'm assuming other things where I went to, but and found out that I volunteered at Ronald McDonald House and contacted the Ronald McDonald House, showed them what I said, and then Ronald McDonald House contacted me and said they suspended me because they felt that my views were intolerant. And I challenged them. I said, well, what's intolerant about putting out the fact that statistically showing African Americans have been the ones who have been, you know, basically terrorizing Asian Americans for the past year since the pandemic. Statistics show this. I showed the statistics. I even showed the news reports. I was like, there's nothing wrong or factually incorrect to what I'm saying. I said, why are you basically against anti-Asian American hatred when it's not a white person doing it? You should be outraged and concerned and wanted to stop regardless who the attacker is, regardless the skin color of the attacker. It's wrong. It should be stopped, you know, for everyone. This should be brought to attention to everyone, regardless of the attacker. We should be looking out for the victims here and not worried about trying to fit the attacker in some kind of left-wing ideological mold to get political bonus points. They didn't really agree with my statement. They felt that the statement that I received from them, which I felt really was offensive, was they said that they want people who volunteer there to be accepting of all races, creeds, and, you know, et cetera. And I said, I am. I said, the people who are attacking me aren't, because they're only want to bring attention when the attacker is a white person. I want to bring awareness when it's happening to everyone. I care about the victims regardless of the race of the attacker. Why don't you? And that's pretty much what wound up happening. And then they put me on a suspension from volunteering, basically giving my time. I was allowed to, you know, risk my life to help the people staying there, but because I don't fit into their ideological mold, you know, I am not worthy.
So Chris, let me just get this right. You are volunteering your time.
Correct.
You weren't being paid.
Correct.
You could have easily done something else with your time, but your valuable time, you decided to go out and to volunteer. And for those who don't know, just tell them what Ronald McDonald House is and what they do.
Ronald McDonald House is an organization that started initially in Philadelphia in the 70s in partnership with the Philadelphia Eagles, and now is throughout the country, and I think even throughout the world. But what they do is, if there's terminally ill children who need, medical procedures or operations or services in some way, that they don't have at their local resident hospital. So say someone like lives in, Pittsburgh, and they're deemed to have a medical condition that can only be addressed through a doctor that's in Philadelphia. The Ronald McDonald House will allow families to come to their house and stay there without paying a fee, as if you would if you had to go for a hotel, and kind of arrange for the families to stay there at no charge while the children are undergoing medical treatment. And it could last for a day, it could last for a week, it could last for a year. Basically, they kind of subsidize housing and room and board for families, so while their children are recovering from medical issues.
Right. And what were you doing again? What was your role as a volunteer?
Mainly, I was there. I was a van driver. And I also worked the front desk. So when people came into the house and they would check in, or they had any questions or concerns, or their room needed towels, and I would do that. But my main priority was being a van driver, where I would transport the families from the house to the hospitals and back. And I also was dressed up as Santa Claus during Christmas time and Christmas in July for the families in the household, and one time as the Easter Bunny.
And again, this was on your time doing COVID, putting your health on the line. Did any of the families ever complain that you were doing something wrong?
No one even knew. This happened about a month ago. And like I said, I haven't, because of the pandemic, they've restricted the people who are volunteering. And for the past year, I haven't been able to do the van driving because of the pandemic, but I was going out and grocery shopping for families who were staying there. Who there's like a floor in a household where if you have like really sick children and you need to be separated from the rest of the families for potential germ spread, they have the family stay on a specific house. So a lot of the times is I would go, they would give me like a grocery shopping list and provide the funds, like a gift card. And I would go to the grocery store, buy all the groceries and deliver back to the families that were staying there if they had special dietary needs or, something to that effect. And that's what I did the past year, but not one person even knew anything about my social media, because it wasn't like, I don't talk politics there. There's no need to talk politics while volunteering. Mm-hmm. I'm there to help, families and do whatever I can to help out, families and the sick children. So that never came up. It was just some vindictive person who on social media who didn't like what I had to say, couldn't refute me in a honest, debate, either face-to-face, email, or on social media. And, wanted to, get revenge. And they tried to went out and contacted the Ronald McDonald House. And unfortunately, the Ronald McDonald House, gave into their demands.
So again, this was all on your time. So these individuals, what you were doing, they decided, okay, we're going to let you go. Because correct, you were standing up and you were saying, hey, here are the facts. Something that people don't hear, they don't do, they cower to. But you're like, up there, here are the facts. These are the people that are attacking the Asians. I'm concerned. I don't care what color it is, but let's just get this right. It's not the boogeyman who happens to be white that's attacking the Asians. I live here in New York City. I see it all the time. I see the people that are attacking the Asians. This just didn't start in 2020. It just didn't start in 2021. It just didn't start when President Trump became president and he said, no, it's the China virus. Because anyone with half a brain, anyone with an intelligence, which CNN, MSNBC, and the rest of the mainstream media, they don't seem to have, anyone else would know that he was referring to the government. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Go ahead, Andrew. I'm sorry.
You're absolutely right, Rob, and so is Chris. In New York City in 2020, only two of the 20 people arrested for Asian hate crimes happened to be white. 11 of them were black, 7 were committed by Hispanics. So the narrative that this is white people committing these hate crimes is just not true. When I was younger, I actually knew a kid who went to the Ronald McDonald House. He had cancer, and his family would go to Tennessee, I think it was, and they would pay for everything. It's really a fantastic organization. But to see them fold to this woke mob is very sad. Having a political opinion in opposition to the narrative, being enough to see someone get fired and not be allowed to help the kids, it's just so disappointing to see.
Which doesn't make any sense. I mean, this charity is supposed to be helping people, and then you have a volunteer who's out there on the front lines trying to help, but because some politically woke person, I would gather to say the person is probably a liberal, probably voted for Joe Biden, wants everyone to believe that it is the white man who's out there attacking the Asians and not the black man. Again, look at the statistics, look at the numbers. As I was saying, this just didn't start in 2020. It just didn't start when President Trump became president. This happened under Barack Obama. Barack Obama just chose not to say anything about it. Okay, he didn't want to go into that because it wasn't politically correct. It wasn't the narrative that he wanted to create. So now all at once, you get one white guy who goes to Atlanta and a massage parlor. And folks, you should know that the parlors in Atlanta that you're going to get a massage, they offer these little freebies. It's the unknown secret, okay? So this one guy is going to go in. He's going to shoot some Asians, and he also killed two white people, but they don't matter, only the Asians, because we want to be able to link this back to President Trump. Folks, we got to wake up. I'm serious. It is time to wake the heck up. We've got to stop this bullshit. And that's what it is. Excuse my language. And I'm not going to say excuse my French. Excuse my language. This is English. We've got to stop it. It makes absolutely no sense. I am a black man. And when I hear this, I cringe. Because I see the numbers, I see the statistics. Whenever I turn on the evening news, it is not a white man, it is a black man that's attacking the Asians. Well, they have mental illness and they have this, but they got enough sense to go and attack an Asian? This was happening way before. You go into the black communities. You go to Harlem. I used to live in Harlem. You go there. The establishments that are there or Asian establishments. Why are they in the black communities? Why aren't they in the white communities? Now ask yourself this basic question. Why are these establishments and the black communities, the communities that's treating them so bad? Even Arab stores are there, bodegas are there. Why are Asian establishments in the black communities doing business? Be it Indian, Chinese, Korean, Arabs, why are they in the black communities? Ask yourself the basic question that the media is not putting out there. Why are they there? And why aren't they getting along? Why can't we have the leaders of these communities to come together and say, we need to resolve this. This has nothing to do with COVID-19 or the China virus. Yes, that's some of the sayings that they're saying that they'll put out there when they attack the Asians. But it's more than that. We need to address the problem, just like so many other issues in this country that we need to address and stop sidestepping. So we have Chris here. They didn't like what he was saying. They want to take away his free speech because God forbid that he thinks independently. God forbid that he calls out and says, wait a minute, folks, here's the truth. This is what you need to know. God forbid that he steps up a white man and says, stop. We got to stop this. We got to push back. I commend you, brother, for standing up and pushing back. It's unfortunate that they don't recognize your talent. They don't recognize that here's a man that they should be trying to emulate. Here's a man that they want working there. Here's a man who's pushing back on that fake narrative that we hear every day. Here's a man that's trying to dispel the rumors. Here's a man that's trying to bring us all together. But no, they're so caught up in their own hatred of self. They're so caught up and afraid that the black man might think for himself, that the black man might turn his back on us. So we've got to tell the black man that he's being oppressed. We've got to tell the black man, don't look at Oprah Winfrey. Don't look at Tyler Perry. Don't look at all those rich athletes. Don't look at all those black bankers. Don't look at all those black businessmen that are out there. You don't see them because you're being oppressed. The police are after you. Never mind the fact that the police said stop and you decide to say, no, stop means go. You decided that I'm going to fight the police. Although I don't have a weapon, I'm going to fight the police. Never mind all that. Just look at the fact that you're being oppressed. And when this young man, Chris, comes out and points it out, boom, we got to silence him. no more. Now, Chris, you're also a journalist, and you've written or heard about other incidents whereby people were unfortunately canceled. Without saying names, could you give us a little background or give us some, share some of those stories with us as well?
Sure. Also in the city of brotherly love, there was
the city. The city of brotherly love is where this is taking place. Go ahead. How ironic.
There was a professor at a college in the area who tweeted on an anonymous Twitter account that he tweeted about against Joe Biden, spoke about reparations. So he, you know, made this tweet. He sent out several tweets arguing against reparations, quoting, you know, Thomas Sowell, Walter Williams, and, you know, basically African Americans using their voices as the reason why you should be against reparations. Some vindictive students or former students got wind of it and then notified St. Joe's, which is the college around. They wound up suspending the professor, and this became like a issue that's been reported nationwide, and he's currently under investigation the last time I checked, and was still suspended for the rest of the semester. Had taught there for 15 years, stellar markings, you know, all kinds of positive reviews, never had an issue. And once again, if you dare to speak out against the preferred narrative and preferred ideology, then it becomes you don't have the rights that all Americans have. Your constitutional rights start getting infringed, and you start, you know, you wind up getting canceled.
You know, the professor that you're referring to, I reached out to him, and he and I were in conversations about a coming on the show and talking about it. He's waiting for a couple of things to take place before he comes out. But this is really unfortunate that in America, people are being silenced for having a difference of opinion. And if you don't agree with the racist mob mentality, woke supremacist, as Tim Scott coined the phrase, woke supremacist, that you're shut down. Your entire livelihood could be taken away from you. And that is a reason why many people refuse to say anything, refuse to talk, because they don't want their livelihood snatched from them. This is what sustains you. This is what keeps your family going. But there are people that are out there lying in wait, waiting for you to make a mistake, or looking for things on you. Like you said in your case, Chris, this hater sought you out, went online, let's see what we can find out about this guy. And then they go to Ronald McDonald House and says, hey, look at this. And because I guess they were cowards, yes, I'm going to say it. You don't have to say it. Chris isn't calling them a coward. I'm calling them a coward.
Oh, I'll call them a coward too. I have no problem.
Okay. On the After Dark Show with Rob and Andrew, coward, afraid to stand up for what's right. And we see this consistently happening over and over again. Look at big corporations. Look at Delta. Look at Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola decided to come out and says, hey, white people, stop trying to be so white. We don't want you to be white. Now, what if Chris had said, Rob, could you stop being so black? Now, am I supposed to take offense to that? You know, it's like, just think about it. If I'm going to tell him, don't act so white, and Chris, you know, your ancestors, although you had nothing to do with it, and maybe your ancestors just came yesterday, but yet and still, you know, you guys are oppressing me. When does the oppression stop? Why is it that Black people have to be so oppressed? It makes no sense. We need to look at the truth. We need to look at the root cause of this so that we can stop counseling people. But it seems to be on the snowball, having a snowball effect that is moving so fast and nonstop. And you have people in power that are out there. And when you have Barack Obama to come out and praise Major League Baseball for what they're doing, get out of Atlanta, move, go somewhere else. Go to Colorado. That's literally why Colorado, go, move. Because they didn't say what we want to say. So they've got to pay. So you want Black Atlanta to pay? You don't want them to have jobs? It's almost similar to counseling, just counseled out Atlanta. They're bad people. Let's counsel them out. And CNN, they're right there. Oh, yeah, let's do it. Wake up.
Yeah. Chris, this has got to be kind of bittersweet for you because clearly this was a foundation and charity that you felt strongly about. You volunteered countless hours to helping the kids out. What's your current thoughts on the Ronald McDonald Foundation? Would you still recommend people donate money to it? How do you feel after this? It's got to be very mixed feelings.
I really love doing it. And I would volunteer. My usual shift was Saturday or every other Saturday. Of course, this was also pre-pandemic, but my shift I did was every Saturday every other Saturday, from 5 to 9. I said, did it for years, loved it, thought I was a valued member. I mean, it was, giving recognition for the things that I did. And that's, it is like really upsetting. And it's like when I remember when I spoke to the person who called me and the volunteer director, it seemed that she wanted me to initially apologize. And she says, like, well, there's two sides to every story. And I refused to. And I said, one, it had absolutely nothing to do with the Ronald McDonald House. And I even told her, I said, you're being a coward. And what you should have told whoever this person that went up and, did this, you should have said, this has absolutely nothing to do with the Ronald McDonald House. Chris is a good volunteer. He's done this. And that's all that matters. And that would have ended it. If they would have just said that, no one, trust me, I can guarantee you, no one's staying there. No one cares what I'm posting on my Facebook. All they care about is what I was doing. And even the stuff I posted on my Facebook wasn't even, bad or anything. It was factual. I posted, legitimate statistics, something that the volunteer director acknowledged in the phone conversation. She just said I was being loud and bullying. And I was like, I'm standing up. I was the one being attacked in the whole group chat. But that's hit her down now. But so I would recommend going to other organizations and shifting volunteer work there or contributions there, or contacting the Philadelphia Ronald McDonald House and telling them you were displeased what happened, because that's what liberals do to us, and we got to start doing something similar back to do that. And it's if one person can say, make a comment and get a volunteer, like not even an employee, that they're not even that they're paying someone who's basically giving up their time and their money and their resources to help them, can get them from suspended just from one email. I mean, that's something that our side has to do as well. And not necessarily like cancel culture, but fight back and defend those who are victims of it.
Yeah, there you have it, people. Feel free to call the Ronald McDonald House in Philadelphia in particular and let it be known you are not happy with their political bias and getting involved in firing a hardworking employee from helping out sick children. It's just absolutely low from the Ronald McDonald Foundation. We are here with journalist Chris Trimolgi, and you're listening to After Dark with Robin Andrew on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Well, my fellow Americans, how did you feel watching footage on the news of domestic terrorists looting our stores and burning our cities down? You were probably disgusted and angry as much as I was. It's disturbing what's going on. Well, you'd be shocked to know that your shopping habits are supporting these extremists. Companies like Amazon, Nike, Disney, FedEx, it's an endless list, and they've been supporting these radical groups. Let's stop supporting companies that fund these extremist groups. We can all do our part. Visit shoptotheright.com and you'll find businesses in a nationwide database and companies that are aligned with our American values. Visit shoptotheright.com and let's all make a difference.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health. Sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa. award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
While the cancel culture is determined to destroy our history, bringing violence and terror to city streets, America Out Loud will enhance its own message of love and honor for the American traditions and constitutional values that have always been the backbone of what America means: life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
That's where we are, After Dark, Rob and Andrew. And we are breaking it down for you, making you aware as to what's happening in the sick culture that we live in. Chris, being a journalist, would you ever in a million years think that what you see now, what we're experiencing, would have happened? Because in journalism school, you're taught to be objective. And we're just not getting that in today's journalism. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think this has been something that's been going on for a while. I mean, it even predates Trump, and I would say even predates Obama. I know that I could think back, talking about going back cancel culture. I mean, Rush Limbaugh, we know, just passed away recently. But if you go back to, it was the early 2000s, where Rush Limbaugh was part of this ESPN football program. I don't know if you remember or you follow football at that point, but he made a comment. And I remember this because he made a comment about Philadelphia quarterback Donovan McNabb. And he made this comment saying that the only reason McNabb isn't really that good of a quarterback, his statistics aren't that good compared to the elite passers at the time, and the only reason he's getting credited was because the media, his exact words were, the media wants to see a black quarterback succeed. That caused this big firestorm, and literally, I think, less than a week after, he wound up being fired or resigned from his position on that show. And that's just, I'm sure there are other instances before that as well. But it's always been like this is the targeting that they have. It's like the left control, unfortunately, the culture and a lot of the messaging and the pop culture that gets out to most Americans through media, through television shows, through entertainment, through politics, through commercials. And it's kind of being reinforced by these actions that they control the messaging that Americans are hearing. And that's kind of shaping public opinion. And that's antithesis to how our country was founded. I mean, our country was founded on the basis of having freedom of speech and being able to speak out. And there, that shouldn't be a left or a right or Democrat or Republican or liberal concern. That should be an American value. Like you said in the beginning of the show, Rob, like you may disagree with what I say, but you'll defend my right to say it. And we don't have that anymore. We have more along the lines of the Soviet Union and, Stalin and Lenin, that type of going on in this country, where if you don't like what I'm saying, I'm not going to defend you for your right to say it. I'm going to punish you instead. And that's where we got going on. That's just, we got to stop somehow. We got to band together, fight back, and stop this horrible trend that's been going on.
Right, because it's one thing to have an opinion. When you're giving the news, I went to journalism school, and we're always taught, the facts, inverted pyramid, give the facts. When you want to insert your opinion, and I think this started taking place in the 90s with the Associated Press saying that we're going to allow our journalists to give their opinions, I'm okay with that. But you need to clearly state that this is my opinion and it's not a fact. Now, some would say, well, yeah, but people should be able to discern the truth from facts. Unfortunately, many people aren't. And we see that now. And that's why we have gotten to this point that we are in society. I look at some of the other news stations and their journalists, pundits, pontificate, and they intertwine their opinions in with the facts, things that they know clearly nothing about. They weren't there when it took place, but they speak in terms as if though this did happen. I mean, we look at the Hunter Biden situation when we had social media just completely removing that story from the public domain and saying that it was disinformation. And it wasn't. You look at how they're treating Hunter Biden now. Now, many people say, well, he's an addict. Yes, he's an addict. He's a horrible addict. He's an evil man. But the way they're trying to rehabilitate him so that when the truth does come out as to what he had done, people will say, well, he had already told us about that. But then I would say to the race police, to those same individuals that are always talking about identity politics, to those same individuals that are constantly saying that Blacks are being oppressed and that the system is against Black people, well, look no further than Hunter Biden. He's getting a completely different view, reading of the law than a Black man. Had he been Black, bought a gun, he would be up under the jail. So why would you support him and say, oh, well, he's a drug addict or he's a this, when you guys are in jail for things that are a lot simpler, smaller, for carrying pot 20 years. This guy's not in jail. And then somehow he manages to get a firearm. But if it were a Black man, God forbid, it would be a completely different story. So if Hunter is the oppressor because he's a white man, why are you defending the oppressor, the white man? See, this is how the media flip-flops and changes these stories. If people are sitting there and they don't even realize it. Hunter Biden, had he been a Black man, changed the color of his skin and see what would happen. Look at Daryl Strawberry. People don't see it. Or they see it and they're looking the other way because they want to be oppressed. Society, liberal society, white liberals, as Van Jones once said, are the most dangerous people. They're extremely dangerous. And then you have Black liberals who like to profit off of the misery of Black people by telling them that they're being oppressed. But when you look at the facts and you look at it, you're like, but wait, look at Hunter Biden. Look, wait a minute, stop. But if you point it out, as Chris has done, we need to counsel him. He's a white man that needs to be canceled because he's not buying into what we're saying. We must cancel him. We can't allow him to continue with that truth. Because if people stop talking, start listening, they'll see that we're lying to them, that we are the liars. So again, you look at journalism and you look at what they're telling you, what they're putting out there. It's a bunch of lies that they have put together, that they have meshed out there, and that they're calling a news story to get everyone all riled up, all upset, hating their neighbors, hating people that they never knew, hating people that they never thought they would hate, and for what? And then once they do it, they will cancel them, ending basically their livelihood. Look at the individuals that were coming out of Trump's White House. We don't give them a job. What do you mean? They have to work. They have to make a living. No one should hire them. Meanwhile, you look at all the news stations and everyone from Obama's White House and Clinton's White House are all on the news pontificating things that they know absolutely nothing about. Chris, what do you say to kids that are going to journalism school? Is it even worth it?
I think it's definitely worth it. And I've actually butted heads with people when I was at Penn. All my journalism who weren't taking a more aggressive stand or standing up or were afraid to stand up. And I kind of figured, I took offense to that because I was like, you hear Republicans are always, one of the things that I have great fault with Republicans is you hear that, oh, liberals are controlling the media and doing this and canceling. And then when you ask them to fight back, they're like, oh, I can't, I got to worry about my future. And it's like, they want things to change, but they want everyone else to do the fighting. And one of the things that I really would encourage, or I would, I don't know if I would encourage, I would let if you're basically wanting to get into journalism and you're doing it from the right side and the conservative side, is that know what you're going to get into. And if you're not prepared to do the fighting or standing up and fight back, then don't get into it. Because if you're just going to basically do it and kind of like cower in fear or be afraid to speak up, and but when other people to risk their, you know, livelihoods and their well-being and their careers and grades such to speak up, then you're not really helping the cause and you're kind of part of the problem in a way. So if you're either going to do that, then actually do it. And if you're not, then don't do it, because then if you're not doing it, you're kind of reinforcing the lingering issues that we have. So that would be my advice to a lot of people if you're going pursuing journalism from the conservative side. Professor Robert George from Princeton, a couple years ago, said conservatives need courage. And I actually interviewed him for this piece I wrote for National Review. And he said that. And then this isn't courage, like, you know, I don't mean courage as in like wearing a MAGA hat and getting a Trump flag and streaking down on college campuses. Nothing, you know, you don't have to do. If you want to do that, by all means, go for it. But I mean, basically, don't be afraid to, you know, express your beliefs or express your values or stand up for your values or defend your values. You know, you can actually challenge people in a respectful and professional manner and stick to your guns, and you don't have to, you know, be afraid, and you shouldn't have to be afraid. So there should be something where if that's what you're going to do if you're going to go into the conservative, you know, field and journalism, know what you're getting into and be prepared to fight for it. That would be my advice.
Right. Because you have a lot of people, like you said, that the people who are out there, we have the politicians that seem to be afraid. They keep pointing out the wrongs of the left, but when it's time to really push back, they cower, they hide. So you have independent people like myself and Andrew and you who are out there saying, hey, we've got to stand up. We've got to fight back. We can't allow them to keep counseling us. And if they do, then we've got to do the same thing that they're doing. If they're going to do it that way, we need to get out and we need to protest. Because if we don't, our voices are going to just be completely cut off. I look at the people that are on the Hill. I look at Marjorie Taylor Greene. A lot of people don't like her. I get it. I understand. But she's a fighter. I mean, to me, I look at AOC, who the other day gave an interview about Israel and the state of Israel, and just she talked a bunch of mumbo jumbo. I'm like, are you serious? This woman is on the Hill and she knows nothing about what she's talking about. And she's just rambling and blah, 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 blah. And then they attack the person who interviewed her. I'm like, what did he do wrong? She came on. She thought she had, you know, command of the subject, which she didn't. And then they want to attack him because she looked like an idiot, the idiot that she is. We've got to push back. We can't be afraid. And we've got to have those conversations. Another reason why I admire you for what you did is because it was a very sensitive topic that a lot of conservatives, white conservatives, don't want to touch. And I've said it over and over again. And Andrew, you know that I've said this, that white conservatives have got to start having that conversation. And they've got to start saying, I am not a racist. And this is a reason why I am not a racist. And yes, you might not see me in your communities. Yes, it might be uncomfortable. A majority of Blacks will go to the church, and that's where you will meet them. That's where you will find them. Then you have got to go to the church. You've got to learn how to clap the same way they know how to clap. And you've got to listen. And when you get there, when you open the door, they're going to all look at you as if though you have six heads. But it's okay, because it is a start. We have lost the war, the cultural warfare. We've lost it. We've given up too much ground to the left. And now we're left trying to defend our position. And we don't do a good job. But Chris, man, hats off. Because you did a hell of a job by citing statistics, the facts. People don't like the facts, but you came armed with the facts. And like you said, wait, I'm tired of this. I'm tired of you guys always attacking the white man. Let's just look at the facts. And it's not as if though you're saying Black men are bad. Like you said, I'm concerned about all people whenever someone is being attacked, but we have to look at the facts. And the facts that are borne out is that it is the Black man that is doing this. That's what I like. And yes, there are a lot of Black people that will push back and won't like it. But if you stick with the facts, if we stay together and just say, hey, This is what it's about. This is what we're doing. These are the facts, not what the liberal media is saying. We will win, but we need more people like Chris. Chris can't do it by himself. We need Republicans, conservatives that are strong, that will support you in what you're doing, that will say, no, we got your back. We understand this. Let's push back. Let's show the facts. It's ugly. The facts are ugly. The facts are never clean. The facts are never pretty, but they are the facts. And they have to be presented. And if in these communities, Blacks are the perpetrators, we have got to acknowledge it, because only then can we correct the problem. But trying to run out there now and to say, oh man, the Asians are being attacked, and the Asians and the Asians, and we see the pictures on TV, but no one dares say that it was a Black man. Oh, we can't say that, because we immediately want to look for the white man. All the incidents that have taken place, the media was hoping that it was someone white, and it wasn't.
Yeah, well said, Rob. You said a lot there. And the key thing that I've taken from this cancel culture the past couple of years is the worst thing you can ever do is apologize. I'm so glad that Chris decided not to apologize, because it always seems to make things worse. You look at Sharon Osbourne, she said nothing wrong when she argued on The Talk, and she apologized, and then she came out and got fired. The Bachelor, Chris Harrison, he's another example. He came out and apologized like a coward. He didn't say anything wrong, and he was fired shortly thereafter. You cannot apologize to this woke mob. You have to stand up and be strong. That's why we all loved President Trump so much, at least I did. This guy, they tried to cancel him so many times, and they just couldn't, because he would never apologize for anything that he said, and he stood by his convictions.
I agree 100%. You cannot apologize. I'm glad you brought that up, Andrew. You can't apologize, because apologizing gets you nowhere, absolutely nowhere. What is it going to serve? They're not going to be happy with it. Oh, I apologize for this. Okay, and they're not happy. They're never happy. They will always bring you down, and they will keep going and going and going. They want your head. I remember Chris Harris came on ABC News, Good Morning America, with Michael Strahan. And he was just, oh, well, you know, I said the wrong thing. And since I went back and I looked at it, and what happened? Strahan gets off and says, oh, I don't think he's serious. Oh, I don't think this. I don't think that. I'm like, what was he thinking? Did he actually think that they were going to have a kumbaya moment and say, oh, come back in. We're happy. Never happened. So Chris, tell me, when you felt that she was trying to get at an apology, at some point, did you think, oh, well, maybe if I apologize? Or, well, you're just destroying your convictions, and you knew, I didn't do anything wrong, I'm not going to apologize. How did that feel, being in the moment?
The thought of apologizing never crossed my mind, because I wasn't wrong. I'm a man enough that if I do something wrong, I will apologize. But I am not going to bow down, cower in fear, and submit to something for something I didn't do wrong. I was 100% right in my convictions. I was able to back it up. She even acknowledged that I had the statistical facts to back it up, and she still went through. And I was not, the thought of doing it, as much as I love volunteering there, as much as I love being part of the organization, as long as I've been doing it, the thought never, ever crossed my mind of apologizing, because I'm not going to apologize for something that I think is right, is just, and is this important in this part of American history, to not do that and give in to these type of things. And I would ask, if someone else was in the position, I would ask them to not apologize. So I can't be like a coward and go in and give in, you know, when I would expect and have other people fight back as well. So that thought never, I mean, if this is the situation where I'm no longer welcome persona non grata at Ronald McDonald's and I'm never volunteering again, then I could walk away from it, wipe my hand, you know, just wipe my hands, hold my head up high, and know I did the right thing. And that the problem is with them, it's not me. I don't want that to be the case. But if that's where it is, you know, I think if people were actually to go on and actually contact Ronald McDonald House in Philadelphia and say, like, this is wrong what you're doing, this person is right, you know, he had the right to defend, and he was statistically right, and they started hearing more of their those voices, that would kind of change things. Then again, I don't even know, because the left have conditioned so many people to just, you know, submit to their demands. Who knows if it'll actually make a difference? But I think if more and more people continue to push back on these things, then you will start to see some progress. But that's, I think, what needs to happen. But as far as me, no. I mean, they said if that's where this is how my association ends with Ronald McDonald Houston, so be it.
But would you go back?
That's a tough question. I would have to get an apology. I'm not so much to the point where I was like, you know, what damage is done, you know. If they legitimately apologized and it wasn't just like a, hey, you're off suspension, you come back now. If they said that, no, absolutely, I wouldn't come back. I would have to say like, hey, you know, we're sorry. Things got heated. We didn't act in the right way. You're a valued member. We would once you come back. But if it's one of those, they said, then I probably would. And I would also like come back and say like, look, I want to educate you guys on some things. Now, maybe that pushes me out as well, but I would definitely take an offensive position and work back where I'm just not going to be like, oh, thank you for taking me back. There would have to be some kind of talk where I would have to talk to people face to face. I definitely would not go back if they just said, okay, your suspension's lifted, you can come back now. That would not happen. Absolutely 100% not.
Do you think that she knew when she was talking to you that she was wrong? I mean, like you said, she said that you had all the facts. And I know you can't read her mind, but what were you getting from her? What type of vibes were you getting from her? Was she doing this? Because, I mean, right, one person complained, but that was just one individual. Do you think that she had bought into this? What do you think exactly took place here? What was happening?
The impression that I got was that I think she was as a left-leaning, and I don't really know this for certain, but I would think that given her actions, there had to be obviously some kind of strong connection to the woke mob and affiliation with like the woke mob and leaning left and all those sympathies. Imagine however, that. What I initially believe, however, is I think when she was calling me up, she initially said that there's, you know, three sides to every story or two, so whatever she said, there's the, you know, your side and the other side and the truth. So I wanted to hear your side. So I think she was expecting me to say something to the long of line, thinking that, oh, things got carried away and, you know, I said something and I didn't really mean it and I'm sorry. But I did not do that at all and had zero intention of doing it. I went on the offense. I said, no, this is what happened. I was offended that this has been going on for a year. The African Americans had been bludgeoning Asian American communities throughout the entire country for a year. Not one person on this associated alumni group ever spoke up or said anything about it. And I went through the entire news feed for the past year to see if anything was saying about it. As like, now you're going to have a fundraiser because a deranged, mentally ill person with a sex addiction who just happened to be white went after alleged prostitution rings and killed, you know, people who were Asian. And as you said, also were white people who were killed. And then all of a sudden, this is supposed to be the big case and indicator of, you know, anti-Asian American hatred in this country. And now you want to hold a fundraiser. Well, what about all the people that suffered for the past year? Didn't their lives matter? You know, that's the whole thing we're talking about in this country, lives mattering, right? Didn't their plight matter? Didn't their assaults matter? Didn't their lives matter? I mean, there was a guy, a former NFL football player this past week who went up and, you know, black man shot up six and killed, you know, a whole family of six white men. Is this, right. Is this the poster for like, you know, anti-white hatred going on in the country? Because there's this basically similar situations. No, that was crafted as a need for gun control in the country. So they take these things and build, it's like a formulaic thing, that process that they pull. They take the incident, put it through a machine, and, you know, depending on certain races of the actors involved, you know, you have one result. And if it's something else, you have a different result. And they run the way that basically the result they put through the media and the messaging they put through the media is contingent upon their preferred political ideology for propaganda purposes.
Well said, Chris. And you actually wrote the article. So can you inform our audience some of what was in the article? You mentioned that you had some of the statistics in the article. Sorry to put you on the spot, but do you know any of them off the top of your head? How many of these hate crimes are being committed by the black community compared to the white community?
I don't have that off the top of my head. I see I might have that saved there. I think it might have was something, but no, I do have it. Hold on. Here we go. So it was from, I actually got this, from the Bureau of Justice Statistics, National Crime Victimization Survey 2018, was published September 2019. Of all the incidences, if I'm reading this correctly and not trying to embarrass myself, the number of victims of hate crimes committed where the victim was Asian American and the offender or the attacker was African American, it happened 27% of the time. And if it was the other one is when it was a white attacker over an Asian American, it happened 24% of the time. Now, keep in mind the differences in population as well. African Americans make up 13% of the population. Whites, non-Hispanic Latinos make up 60% of the population. So there's a huge, you know, discrepancy as far as the representation of African Americans in this country being the attackers for anti-Asian acts of violence. And I said, and that's, you could look up, it's, you Google yourself, whoever's listening, it's the Bureau of Justice Statistics National Crime Victimization Survey 2018.
I'm glad you gave them that site so that if they don't believe what we're saying, if they say, well, no, they're just making it up, you can look it up for yourself and you can see what the numbers are. Like I said, I live here in New York and I see it all the time. They put it on the news. We see who the perpetrator is. We see the skin tone. We see the person. But they will tell you Asians are being attacked. And people will immediately think, oh, it's the white man. The white man is doing it. Because right now in today's society, unfortunately, the white man is evil. He's toxic. And right up under the white man is the black man, because the black man isn't feminine enough for the liberals. This has got to stop. And I'm glad you came on to share this information with us, to share the numbers, because people need to be made aware that we have got to wake up and see what's happening in society. People are being canceled. People are being shut down because of the truth that some don't want to hear. They don't want to acknowledge. But as the Bible says, the truth will set you free. The truth will make you free. Don't you want to be free by knowing the truth? How do we get here so fast, whereby up is down and down is up, and no one seems to care? It's like, well, we're not going to say anything about it. At some point, this country has to have a reckoning and realize that we're not perfect. We strive each day to get better. But it is the truth that will sustain us. It is the truth that will help us. It is the truth that will bring us together. And this foundation that's being created right now, a foundation of lies and viciousness, a foundation of, I don't want to hear what you have to say because I want these people to feel as if though they're still being oppressed, when that just simply isn't true. It's just not true. Look at it for yourself and don't go to Google, go to DuckDuckGo, because Google, you know, they'll fudge the numbers and hide the information. You have to keep looking. And it's sad to say that even Google is now hiding the information.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much to our guest tonight, Chris Trimbolgi. Follow him on Twitter at CTremo, CTREMO, if you want to find him on social media. A great follow on Twitter. And thank you so much to everyone who joined us on another night of After Dark with Rob and Andrew. So remember, you either stand for something or you will fall for nothing.